welcome to the Early Wedge Tuesday Best Bet Show. I am your host, EC. It is great to have you with us. We have a special segment in store tonight. Get ready. I'm going to be put on the spot. Thanks to one Jason Sobel and the crew. But at first, there's some news today from the PGA Tour. So let's bring in the stars of the show. We have Sobel, we have Sia, we have Patrick back from Shinnecock. And before we get into the news of the day, Patrick, you were out there on site. Do you think that the fans on Long Island were unfair to Wyndham Clark?
It was a disgrace, EC.
Really?
Something that should never be seen at a golf tournament. This is a golf tournament we're talking about. This isn't a sport. This isn't like an NFL game, a basketball game, a UFC fight. It's golf we're talking about. It was unbecoming of the Long Island crowd. I will say, you know, social media gave it to them good this week. First 3 days, they can't do anything right because none of them are at the golf tournament. Then lo and behold, they come to the golf tournament and everyone's mad at them now. I think there are a few bad actors, but it wasn't great.
Sobel, there have been – you're a New York guy by birth. And there have been thoughts that, hey, Bethpage is getting the PGA Championship in 2033. It should be taken away because the New York fans were so unbecoming at the Ryder Cup the other year and then what we saw this past weekend.
All right. As the native New Yorker, native Long Islander, in fact, first of all, what do you expect? We're loud. We're going to yell stuff. I mean, this is just what we do. Secondly, I don't know how much – I don't understand why there's so much backlash against Wyndham Clark. First of all, because he threw temper tantrums a couple times at major championships last year. Quite honestly, I would have thought that would make him relatable to the guy that goes out on a Sunday morning to the local muni and, you know, throws his club in the pond when he makes a triple bogey. Like, I would think people would actually gravitate towards him a little bit. I think part of this was, hey, you know what? He's leading by a bunch and I want to see some drama at my US Open on a Sunday afternoon. So I'm going to root against him just to have Scotty and some of the other guys get a little bit closer. But I don't know. I thought it was ridiculous. I interviewed Wyndham Clark before the tournament started. He was apologetic and embarrassed about what happened at Oakmont last year. He's made amends for it. I think it's silly that everyone's rooting against him, but honestly, it's just a few that are doing this, and it leaves guys like us talking about it for years afterwards. But no, we're not taking away events.
Take it away.
As the resident attorney and on this show, the judge and weatherman, I do want to ask you, is there precedent for the PGA Tour Golf America, whoever it was, the USGA, to take away a tournament, or the PGA of America to take away a tournament because of these rude, terrible New York fans?
I don't think there's precedent for that, but I mean, I don't think that would ever happen. But I mean, these New York fans, like, we're a week removed from them beating up Spurs fans just for wearing a jersey. I mean, at a certain point, you do have to, it doesn't have to be golf that does it, but you do have to punish these fans for some reason. I mean, Philly fans, New York fans, you can't even go to a game or, you know, at this point, a golf tournament without, you know.
Golf tournament. We're talking about golf Sia.
Yeah.
Golf.
But Patrick, if this was a foreign golfer, a la the Ryder Cup, let's say it was, you know, Tyrrell Hatton who's getting booed like that, would people feel differently? I mean, this was an American getting booed on American soil.
A guy who has won the U.S. Open before in front of his fellow countrymen, just getting it hole after hole after hole. If it was Tyrrell Hatton, I would be okay with it.
Right, there you go.
I'm joking. I'll say this much. Yeah. Like, you know, the Europeans, the hoity-toity, the big wigs out there on the internet who think they're such great golf fans because every time we go to the Scottish Open and the Open, the players are like, you know, they appreciate a good shot more than the American fan who's bombed out of his mind. They give it to the Americans when they're over there, okay? Brian Harman's Open. Goddrup talked about it at the Scottish Open when he won last year, too, against Rory. They all wanted Rory to win. No one wanted Chris Goddrup to win. It happens on home and away soil. It's weird that it happened to a home guy on home soil.
Wyndham Clark heard it from the fans the previous week at the RBC Canadian Open. Why? Because he wore a Jack Hughes sweater in the rink hole they had, the 14th hole, the par 3 there, which he should come back to America, and everyone's like, hey, Wyndham, way to get him up north. Instead, everyone's like rooting against him here as well. He's like, what country can I go to where they're going to root for me?
I'll tell you what. Yes. I actually gained respect for Wyndham Clark for doing that. Putting on the Jack Hughes jersey in Canada is brilliant. All right, I want to get to my storyline here. It's the Travelers Championship. We'll talk a lot about that. But, guys, we have some schedule news that came out today. The 2028, basically the track one, the track two. Sobel, I'm going to start with you on this. Do you like what Brian Rolapp and the tour, you know, folks in charge of this presented?
Very simple answer is yes, and I'll get into some caveats here. Issa, you and I were texting about it earlier, and I will remind people, and I was trying to remind you, that when decisions like this are made, big decisions, it's not just to prioritize your best interests as a fan. And I think we all have to realize that it's not just my ideal scenario, what I want to watch every week on the PGA Tour. It's what's best for the sponsors, what's best for the rights holders, what's best for the players, and quite frankly, all of those might be prioritized over the fans. I know as a fan, you want to think you come first. Maybe. That said, I like pretty much everything other than two things right now. And one is the fact that I know you can get sort of a battlefield promotion, kind of like you get Korn Ferry to PGA Tour now. If you're in track two, the challenger track, you can win twice and then move up to the championship track. I want instant promotion and instant relegation. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they're going to make those tweaks, but I think if you play well for a couple of weeks on the challenger track, move them up. You got up to the big leagues just like a minor leaguer who's, you know what, I had a good week. I hit four home runs in six games. Guess what? The big club needs a first baseman. We're going to move you up. The other thing I don't like that, again, could be changed, but I don't think it will. If a championship track player, a superstar player, wants to go play a challenger event, let's say the CJ Cup Byron Nelson in Dallas-Fort Worth is no longer a championship track event. Scottie Scheffler says, that's my hometown. I love that tournament. I want to go there. He should be allowed to go there, whether you give him one, two, three free passes during the year. You can't disallow players to go to their hometown events or other events that mean something to them. Maybe they had their first win there or whatever it might be. So there are two things I dislike about it right now. Other than that, yeah, well done by the PGA Tour.
Patrick, I was going back and forth with Sobel earlier, just at the thought, you know, of the WMPO, my hometown tournament, not being a tier one tournament. And so obviously that upsets me, which possibly Sobel made a good case that if West Management doesn't pay up, I mean, that's what happens. What do you make of what Rolapp said? Do you like it, or what changes would you present?
You know, honestly, it seems like it's a variation of the PGA Tour pre-live to an extent with the track B. Like, not much has changed. There's relegation and promotion every single year on the PGA Tour. It just has a fancy new word attached to it, like a soccer league, like the Premier League. And so I'm with Sobel. I think in season stuff, like Chris Wrighton never wins the Wells Fargo or the Truist Championship in this league because he wouldn't be in the event, even if he was playing great golf on tier two, because he was on the Aon Swing Five or whatever. Alex Fitzpatrick would never get into those events either. So I think there's a potential to be missing some of those storylines as well. And I would say I've probably more questions than answers. I will say part of it seems like they put more guidelines in and made it maybe simpler for fans to follow. I think it largely depends on how the point system works for each league. Because right now I think we all can say, how much does a T7 get in terms of FedEx Cup points this week? None of us know that. And so hopefully that's easier to follow, just so fans have an easier way to follow, because points are impossible to follow for FedEx Cup points wise. But I think they still have a lot to figure out in a short amount of time, because they need to tell these guys what they're playing for in 2027 so they can play into it in 2028. And so Rolapping them, I think they're against the clock a little bit.
See, as somebody that loves betting on these alternate events, and you crush them, I historically just crush those events. We're going to see, I believe, 20 in the tier two, and you're going to see, I would say, the majority of weeks having, you know, overlapping events. You have to love that as a big golf bettor.
Totally love it. Yeah. I mean, again, we have a signature event this week, but when it comes to betting, I really enjoy the non-signature events, sort of the second class events, if you will. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if this changes much from a better standpoint. I mean, I guess do we have the schedule? Do we know how it's going to roll out in 2028? Because if we're just going to get golf tournaments every week and some are going to feel like signature events, mind you, with a cut, and some aren't, then that's great. Like it doesn't really impact me much at all from that standpoint.
See, I think it's more going to feel like a full field PGA Tour event before, like say a full field Arnold Palmer Invitational that we had before they cut the signature events, and then a Korn Ferry Tour event. Because Rory McIlroy was right. It's a glorified Korn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Which is fine. And that's okay. I will say, Patrick, that I like the fact that in the pre-LIV era for the PGA Tour, 1 week might have six of the top 10 players. Next week has five. The next week has seven. And they're all kind of mixed and matched and intertwined. Like, now we're going to get the best of the best all playing together. Now, again, like you said, I want to see the Raytons. I want to see the Alex Fitzpatricks. I want to see some promotion and relegation like immediately, as opposed to at the end of the season or only if you have two wins or something like that. But I do think it's a better way to get these guys playing. And kudos to the PGA Tour for listening. Mm-hmm. I think they listened to have bigger fields and cuts at all these events, because these small field events like we have this week with 72 players and no cut, it takes a lot out of it. It just does.
Patrick, are we done? And I asked Sobel this earlier. Nobody kind of has an answer. I don't know if you have one here. Is this the last 72 golfer event that's planned in the future as of now, or are we going to have this again next year? Do you know?
I imagine it's next year, right?
I thought they were not. I assumed it was going to 120 next year, but I don't know. Sobel, no. I mean, have you heard anything after you were chatting earlier?
Sure.
I don't know. Hopefully, this is the last 72 player event. Yeah,
these guys are playing to get inside the top 50 of the BMW, presumably to get into the signature events next year.
Yeah. I mean, you still have the FedEx Cup playoff events, EC. So that's still, you know, you still have
I'm talking about of the eight signature events, I assume that we were going right, exactly. And Matt put up this graphic here. I assume that this was the last, you know, 72, 80 player event, and now we're gonna go, you know, outside of the playoffs and the Masters, we're gonna have full fields everywhere. So we'll find out. All right, let's move on to storylines for the Travelers Championship. And Sobel, we'll come to you first to ask you about, you know, we saw that, you know, last week was obviously great. Four rounds tough at Shinnecock. Who still has gas in the tank this week?
You know, I did some research on it. I haven't posted the article yet, but I went back and looked over the last decade or so and found that it's not the guys who are in serious contention, but also not the guys who played terrible and missed the cut. It's those guys who are like just on the outskirts, usually fare the best the next week. And so you're looking at guys who are in, you know, the top 15, top 20, top 25 that, you know, played pretty well at Shinnecock, might still have some gas left in the tank. They weren't grinding away trying to win the U.S. Open, but they also didn't shoot a couple of rounds of 75, 76 and go home on Friday afternoon. So I'm definitely identifying a few of those players in my outright picks this week.
Now, Sia Najat is not necessarily identifying some of those. Well, we'll look later in the show. I haven't cheated. But Sia, your storyline is two words.
Scotty wins. Actually, give me the solo. Give me the solo, Matt. Give me the solo. You didn't hear this from me, everybody, but I just want to inform you secretly on the down low. Scotty Scheffler is winning the Travelers Championship. Don't tell anybody. All right, I'm willing to take questions now if anybody has any. Thank you.
I mean, this is a guy that's won one tournament all year. He's won one tournament all year. It was the first tournament of the year. The signature events have been won by a lot of, let's say, not the biggest names, Sia. And now you're going to say the number one player in the world who has secunditis or fourthitis right now is going to win this tournament.
Yeah, you made my argument for me. Thank you. Because he's constantly in the hunt. And at a certain point, variance is going to get its way, not with Scottie Scheffler, but with all the players like Wyndham Clark. I know Sam Burns was in contention as well. Saving par, making birdie on 16, where we thought he might have a bogey on that par five. I'm just saying that at a certain point, the odds go the other way. And Scottie Scheffler, even with his issues, sometimes off the tee, sometimes on approach, sometimes with the putter, he's still playing really good golf. And at a certain point, the bounces are going to go his way. And I think that starts now at a much more predictable course for him than last week at Shinnecock.
for what it's worth, Sia, I fully agree with you.
But Crispin makes a really good point. Mm-hmm. How can Scotty possibly beat Ryan Gerard this weekend?
Well,
we'll get to that.
It's funny you bring that up. It's funny you bring that up because let's move on to FRLs, Patrick. And I noticed that you're going a single bullet here. And who is it?
It's Ryan Gerard. How could it not be Ryan Gerard? This guy led after round one at Muirfield Village, led after round one at Colonial as well. And so we're going to keep riding the hot hand in terms of first round leaders for a guy who I know he didn't play great at the U.S. Open, but that's fine. He got the rest this weekend. He didn't have to deal with all that anxiety and all that stress that comes with weekends at the U.S. Open. And Ryan Gerard, 65-1, first round leader.
Sobel, we have to have a – go ahead, see
it.
Yeah.
No, that's it. I'm just number one. This is just a number one sign. I fully endorse this.
Sobel, we have to have a conversation here. I thought that we were done with Ludvig Åberg. Now, I have to admit – well, I broke a rule last week. After our show, I went on Fanatics, and they had a Ludvig Rory, both top 10s, priced at 19-1, and Ludvig Cam Young, both top 10s, priced at 27-1. Both were mispriced, but I was like, I got to bet it. Maybe Ludvig's going to show up. And he did for, you know, 1.5 rounds and then, you know, out the window. You think he's going to show up for at least 18 holes this week?
You just said he showed up for 1.5 rounds last week. I only need one round. I only need one round from him. And here's what I'm basing this on. And granted, this is a massive leap. But just a few months ago, played pretty well at the Masters, just kind of like about the same type of finish, like just inside the 20, top 20 or so, maybe just outside the top 20. In any case, 4 days later, went to the RBC Heritage at Harbortown, shot 63, and led after the opening round there. I think there might be something to sort of like the weight of a major championship off his shoulders. Now Ludvig can go be Ludvig, just go out there and play some golf. And when he does, he's really good. He's one of the world's best players when you take out all the other variables and just go play golf. And so I'm looking for that to happen again. Nick Taylor, I tried him last week. He's top five on the PGA Tour in round one scoring average. Didn't work last week. And as I was making this selection, I remember that last year I was sitting on the 15th tee box doing interviews for PGA Tour radio during the Pro-Am. And Nick came over and sat down. And I've known Nick for a long time. And he's one of my favorite guys out there. And I didn't phrase this the right way, but the question came out, "So, Nick, how come you've been pretty bad at this golf tournament for a while?" And I left out the other part of this. See, Scotty, I ask other players bad questions as well, so it's not just you. I left out the part of this feels like a golf course that should really suit your game, and yet you haven't quite had the results. That would have been a better way to phrase it, but he laughed and he said, "You know what? I don't know. I come here and I like it, and I feel the same way that it should suit my game." So maybe this year for Nick Taylor.
By the way, Sobel, in the chat, Josh, who will join us later in the show, said you gave out an EC stat. So I'm very proud of you for that. I love
– No, that is not –
You know, Patrick, by the way, I did give out a stat
last
week.
What was the trend?
The trend was that the last – I think it was 8 U.S. Open winners had been in the Data Golf top 25, and that continued as Wyndham Clark was ranked among the Data Golf top 25. I think he was like 16 or something like that heading into it. So infants
win the U.S. Open.
One of the top 25 players has won.
Guys, I'm trying to make up for that memorial stat the other week. It didn't go so well for me. Sia, you are the resident weatherman, as I mentioned earlier on this program. And it looks like we potentially have a weather wave that the AM PM tee times seem to potentially with wind speeds have an advantage over the PM AM tee times. Do you agree from what you've seen?
So, yeah, but I think it's super marginal. And honestly, last week, I feel like we kind of got it wrong. By we, I mean the entire industry. But like this, the weather stuff, I will say this. Last week, it seemed really extreme, right? This week, I don't think it's that extreme. So whether you're right or wrong, I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference. But I am going with AM guys. All four of my guys are pretty early in the morning. I'll start with Ryan Gerard. I'll start at the back end at 65-1. I mean, I'm just going with Crispin and Patrick McDonald. But Gerard is, I mean, listen, we're looking for a guy who's great in first rounds, but can just get red hot fire and has the variance to be dead last in round one or absolutely first. And I think Ryan Gerard fits that description. I'll start at the top here. Ben Griffin, 45-1. Aaron Rye, 46-1. Both have good course history. Both coming in playing really well. Aaron Rye playing better, a better course fit. But Ben Griffin, when he's on and when he's feeling confident, can absolutely lead a round, lead a tournament. So I like both of those guys. Eric Cole, course history, not quite as good. Not good at all, actually. But Eric Cole's a much different golfer now than he was. 60-1 as a first-round leader. A guy that's, you know, we'll see how he is off the tee. If he's good off the tee, if he keeps it in the fairway, the approach play and the putter lately have been unbelievable. So he is like your quintessential first-round leader, in my opinion, in spite of the lack of good history here.
By the way, Jeff in the chat says, Sobel, will you sign his Ben James plus 1,200 top 10 FRL ticket?
Yeah, plus 1,200 is a really big number. Patrick will. Patrick will take
definitely,
it.
You signing it?
Definitely signing that.
That's a big number. I can get
definitely behind. Signing that.
Okay, fair enough. Because we know, listen, you made me look smart a couple weeks ago with Ben James, Patrick.
36-hole leader.
I mean, I'm getting a shout-out from Behrman in the Sportsline Discord. I was first in his DFS you were getting competition.
Why were you getting a shout-out?
Because he didn't hear
picked
that
him.
Yeah, I ripped you off, and I put him in my DFS, and then he stunk, and I didn't finish in the money. Yeah,
It worked out for everyone, though.
coming up next, do you think I would do a show without having some meaningless stat on the show? No, I don't think so. Wait till you see what I have cooked up for you after we hear from one of our sponsors. Sobel, I have some bad news for you in this segment and going forward in the show. You and I see eye to eye on a lot of things this week.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, it's really, really not a good sign, but we're going to try to overcome that. So we're going to start with your matchups here. I really like both of these plays because I'm going to talk about both these golfers a little bit later in the show. So start us off with good old JT.
Look, Justin Thomas is trending in the right direction. He's got three straight top tens at this golf tournament. Look, he's just I like everything about him. He got off to a late start after missing the first 2 months of the year. I feel like he's still playing a little bit of catch up. And we can fade the guy who was taking in a whole lot of grape on Sunday night at Shinnecock afterwards and who's probably going to be a little either figurative or maybe even literally hungover for the first couple of rounds of the Travelers Championship. Yeah, I'm good fading Wyndham Clark on this golf course under these circumstances. So I love JT in that one. And we're going to have a lot of Brian Harman talk. Five straight top tens at this event. Seven of his last eight have been inside the top 10 here. And he's playing well. The numbers are pretty good ball striking wise over his last 8 to 10 starts. Minwoo Lee is not a good fit for this golf course. Love Brian Harman at this number.
See ya. The no bet list makes an early appearance with a round one play, actually, and your tournament play. But let's start with a guy that, you know, did something that nobody in the history of the U.S. Open has ever done and shot par in four consecutive rounds, especially after that wacky start. Keith Mitchell over Ryo Hisatsune.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. What was also crazy is we're seeing it with the putter from Keith Mitchell, and I don't know if that's going to sustain itself. That's not necessarily why I'm taking this round one matchup, which, by the way, you can find over at DK. Actually, you should be able to find it everywhere. This number is from DK. Round one, Keith Mitchell, minus 128 over Ryo Hisatsune. Keith Mitchell, we know the ball striking is there. Now, Ryo Hisatsune, the ball striking was there, and it's kind of tailed off. But what's interesting about this matchup, I actually think this should be closer, I would say probably to minus 140, because even if Keith Mitchell's putter doesn't stay hot, Ryo Hisatsune's short game, including his putter, have been like kind of bad, like pretty inconsistent. So I think Keith Mitchell has Ryo in the ball striking. And I think even if he's worse than him in the short game, which, you know, if we're going by super recent form, that's not going to be the case. Even if it is the case, though, I still think he wins this matchup in round one. So I really like this one, round one matchup. And then we're going to go to Patrick Cantlay. Even money over Siwoo Kim. I just think this is mispriced. You talked about Brian Harman, Jason, in terms of how well he's done at this tournament. Patrick Cantlay, the last eight tournaments, he's been T15 or better. He's been top five in two out of the last three. So even if you have misgivings about Patrick Cantlay or you don't love Patrick Cantlay, what he's been able to do is be super consistent at this tournament. Siwoo Kim has been showcased some upside, showcased some good putting. Obviously, the ball striking is always going to be there, but I do not think Siwoo Kim, especially given his history, should be a favorite over Patrick Cantlay. If anything, it should be even. I think this is a great number.
I will start with the top Canadian market and going with a player I've never picked before in this segment. That is Taylor Pendrith at plus 220 to beat Corey Connors and Nick Taylor. So Connors' putter has been horrendous of late. He's lost at least 2.6 strokes on the greens in his last four events, and he's never putted well at TPC River Highlands. Now, Nick Taylor's putter is usually among the strength of his game, but not recently. He has lost strokes as well, putting in seven of his last nine trips here. Meanwhile, Pendrith has gained 2.9 and six strokes putting in his last 2 years en route to a pair of top 25s. Now, he hasn't had a top 25 since the season opening Sony Open, but he's due. So we're going to give him a shot at plus 220 and hope he beats Connors and Nick Taylor, who are not in the best of form. And then, Patrick, I want you to judge this meaningless stat of the week here. Will there be a playoff? I'm going to put a half a unit on yes at plus 400 because this event produces more playoffs than just about any other event on tour. We've had five in the last 13 years, and we came very close to one last year as well. I'm going to take a shot on this one here. We've seen, I think, four other events that have been within one stroke. So that's nine of the last 13 that have been decided with either a playoff or one stroke. Grasping at straws, but at plus 400, I'm trying, Sobel.
Five out of 13 is not a trend.
Nine of 13, one stroke. Four to one odds.
By the way, the four that were one stroke don't cash playoff tickets.
Well, it should have been some of them, maybe. We did see a playoff here a couple years ago.
Sam Burns almost won last week at the U.S. Open. That's an outright.
That's true. Could have had a playoff there too, Sia. Could have.
Awesome.
Can I give you a stat that I like this one? It doesn't really, it's not germane to what we're talking about. TPC River Highlands this week playing 6,844 yards. The women, and we're going to get into them a little bit later. I got some parlay action on some LPGA this week. The KPMG Women's PGA Championship, Hazeltine, 6,807 yards. I actually thought that one was going to play longer and might, for like one specific day, play longer than the Travelers for the men.
Mm. Wow. That's a nice stat there. Way better than anything I got there. Patrick, I'm
Sobel,
trying
to... Sobel, you should take that to heart coming from EC.
4-1 odds, Patrick. Give me some... Are you with me here?
Trendmaster likes it.
I'll go with you. I'll go with the Trendmaster.
Thank you. You and Farzad are going...
5 of 13. Right.
Pete Kettle says, are EC units equals one date night? It's been a while, guys. We're in a little bit of a drought. We'll talk about that later in the show. All right, let's move on to finishing positions and... We'll start with Patrick McDonald, who has a couple of plays. Patrick, I hate to admit it, I really like both of these plays, including one of them that I'm going to steal
why
from
do you,
my own.
Why so. Do you hate to admit it? You can
because you don't want to match
up.
With my
– You can lift me up.
I've been awful because I have been awful in this segment recently.
Okay.
My finishing positions have been – Cam Smith last week, miscut, embarrassment. Henley, not good. Patrick, start with Aaron Rye. Tell me why he's going
to
do well.
Henley was tough. That was on me. I talked to him before his third round. Lo and behold, he doesn't break 80. So I'll take that one on the chin. I'm sorry. I apologize,
ouch.
GC.
Ouch.
My top 20 plays this week, though, Aaron Rye, top 20, quietly finished T11 at the U.S. Open last week. I feel like I didn't even see a single shot of his the entire week. And I look and it's like, boom, same old Aaron Rye. Feels like at this golf course, a lot of people are playing from the same place often. Rye's going to get to that spot as much as humanly possible with how accurate he is off the tee. He's a great iron player as well. And so I'm rolling with him. Gerard, kind of the same situation, top 20 for plus 225 too. And kind of just saying the U.S. Open was the U.S. Open. Stuff like that happens sometimes. But on this golf course, I think he'll fare much better.
See ya. Pick it up with Aaron Rye. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about him here on the show, especially in outrights. But tell us why you like him.
History is good, and the play is better than it's ever been. I mean, he's super consistent. The ball striking is going to be really good. So I think a top 20 is very realistic. I will say when they have the more exact finishing position sometimes where you can take like Aaron Rye's number is probably going to be like 27.5, and you can take the under, which is better than 27 or 27 or better. It'll probably be in that, I'm just guessing, in that minus 110 range. I really like that one as well. It gives you a little bit more cushion than the top 20, including ties. But this is a really good number, plus 166. So I'm going to go ahead and jump on that with Patrick. Speaking of Patrick's, Matt Fitzpatrick. So I did debate going to Fitzpatrick in the outright market, both him and his brother, frankly, because I've been betting both of them for quite some time. Neither of them are on my outright card this week. Maybe I'll throw in Alex Fitzpatrick as a last-minute FOMO situation. I think Fitzpatrick's going to fix his issues off the tee. He's dialed on approach. The putter should be fine. I think top 10 is very reasonable for Matt Fitzpatrick at plus 178.
And Sobel, you are going with a pair of top 10s, including a guy who, I mean, probably should be on the no-bet list again this year. I got to stop betting him. He's stealing my money. has good finishes, including a very well could get in the top 10. But last year, he stole a lot of people's money with kind of a choke on the 72nd hole, and that's Tommy Fleetwood.
I don't think he stole the money. It's not like he gets to keep it if you bet on him and he doesn't win. That said, Josh was just in the chat reminding me that Tommy Fleetwood sometimes doesn't win golf tournaments, which is a good reminder there. And that's why I'm taking him only for a top 10 this week. Look, he's playing some really good golf. We were questioning Tommy not that long ago. He was kind of hot and cold and wasn't really there, but he seems to have gotten there. He's playing some very good golf right now. I'm not getting there on an outright at a very short number, but top 10 for plus 150 makes a lot of sense. And then, again, Brian Harman finishes top 10 here every single year. So hopefully it's the free square that we're all looking for. Again, that's more than 4-1. It's a big number.
Crispin in the chat, you're right. He did give money to Keegan Bradley bettors last year. So that's a very good point that Tommy Fleetwood did do that. I had Russell Henley, who almost holed out for a chip. I had Patrick's boy almost holed out on the 72nd hole. He did not, and that's why he is now has been on the no bet list this season. Russell Henley, and
he did chip in on the 72nd hole.
Oh, he did year. Right, but he missed something. It was the hole before, something like that. He came up one short.
Just stop.
Like that.
Just stop.
I was upset. I had
just stop. Don't do that.
It wasn't Max Grazerman level.
Let's you can't rewrite that. History, EC.
I try. I am not going to try to rewrite Brian Harman's history here. As Sobel said, 5 straight top 10s and 7 of his last 8 here. We're going to play a top 10 at plus 410 and a top 20 at plus 162. And Patrick already talked about Ryan Gerard. I have nothing better to add than that. Ryan Gerard, top 10, plus 475, top 20, plus 225. Let's try to get back on track and get me some units here. So thank you, P. Kettles, in the chat. We're going a couple date nights with a Scotty winner parlay. Actually, I got one for you later in the show. This is a date night parlay that I have for you with Scotty Scheffler. It's going to pay for a lot of dates when this hits.
All right.
Coming up next, we're going to do outrights, and then we're going to do the Sobel Challenge. Will I embarrass myself more than I usually do on this show? Find out next after we hear from a sponsor.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Well, the no bet list did get a scare last week. Sam Burns really, we added him. I added him, not we. I added him the other week, and he gave it a real run for his money. Yeah, see, we almost had another X, but we're holding on. That right side, this week has some challenges, Sia. Do you think I should be worried about anyone before we get into outrights? Outside of, we know Scotty's going to win, but if he doesn't, should I be worried about it?
Yeah, there's one guy you should be very worried about. I mean, in all honesty, I think there's three guys that you should be worried about. I think you could make an argument for four or five, but there's a lot of guys on this list that I think can win.
A lot of guys. So we'll go ahead.
You've made sure to not bet anybody that's on your own do not bet list, correct?
Now, but see, I did it. Hold on. I did it right this week, Sobel. I took them to finish without Scotty Scheffler. So they can finish second. Mm-hmm. I can't make the mistake with Sam Burns like I did the other week when I had him to win outright. I will not do that the rest of the year.
Do not bet list. It's not called a do not best bet unless
it's without Scotty. Do not bet outright.
Only bet them to finish second to Scotty Scheffler list.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
All right. All right.
You're getting got this week, EC.
Yeah.
You think so? Well, let's find out who Patrick has without. And I saw your picks on CBSSports.com, and I was very surprised with who your winner was in that article. He is not. He is. Oh, there he is, right there.
Yeah, it is.
Start off with Tommy Fleetwood.
It's the year of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Wyndham Clark from Oakmont locker room to the winner's circle at Shinnecock Hills. Tommy Fleetwood from the demise at TPC River Highlands to the high heavens. A sweet, sweet victory, playing much better golf. He was, you know, Jason talked about kind of the outskirts of contention. That was kind of Fleetwood, it seemed like, last week, and putting it much, much better. And then I'm rolling with JT at 29-1. Looks like I'm not alone here, which we love to see. And look, I've been expecting this guy to fall off on more difficult golf courses. He hasn't yet. He's continued to play some good golf. And I think on a layout where, as I mentioned, a lot of guys are going to be playing from the same spot from fairway in, yeah, I'll take a bet on JT to beat the rest of the field in that.
So, Patrick, by the way, if it was the year of redemption, I would have a lot better look with my dating life. So there's no redemption going on, right? Yeah, it's not going so well.
You should be calculating that in
decades. Don't tell me you like circle back after a year, be like, been thinking about you.
You know, I've tried that. It never has worked. I have tried that. It never works. Yeah. I almost did it again the other week, Patrick. But I feel like I need to just trust my decision making.
Bad, it sounds like.
Some desperate times call for desperate measures. But Sobel, we're going to make some money. Well, at least one of us is going to make some money this week, hopefully, with Justin Thomas. Patrick has him to win. You have him to win. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to finish second. But why do you think he's going to win?
All the reasons I gave earlier, he's just building to some good things. I believe he's, five of his last six inside the top 25, playing some good golf right now. As Patrick just said, a lot of guys hitting shots from the same spot. It's going to be who's your best wedge player, who's your best, 8-iron, 9-iron player. Justin Thomas is going to be up there every single time. And I think he's hungry for it. At a time of year when I'm not going to say guys don't want to win, but they've been playing golf for 6 months now. They're like, I just don't have much in the tank. We got another major coming up in a few weeks. Like, let me relax a little bit. Justin Thomas has more in the tank, I think, than most guys. Same can be said for Colin Morikawa. It's been a tumultuous year. Last year, tumultuous for different reasons. Lost the API to Russell Henley and then kind of got on reporters for a bit and then bagged his caddy and never really found his game. This year, had the back injury at the Players, came back at the Masters and was top 10, top 5 the next week at Harbortown, became a father for the first time. Now, finally, he can just kind of concentrate on golf, I think. It seems like he's healthy, or at least healthier than he was, and he's got the nappy factor going for him, which has helped many players in the past. So I like Morikawa, especially at that number. And then my man Sahith just happened to rank number 1 in the field in strokes gained tee to green, including wedge play around the greens last week at Shinnecock. He's right in that like kind of sweet spot of, I think he was 17th or so last week, 19th, something like that, where not really serious contention, but played well enough for us to keep our eye on him this week.
Yeah, he was great, except I needed him for a top 10 on Sunday, and he didn't get it done. T11. Thank you, him and Tommy Fleetwood. Shocker. See ya. You and I thinking alike this week that Scottie Scheffler wins, and we know a guy that never wins but can finish second, especially here, has a great track record, is Patrick Cantlay.
I seem to recall in the last couple of years, there's been like one or two occasions where Patrick McDonald has said, guy, I hate my card, I hate this pick, and it's that pick that ends up winning. This is by far the card, this at least in 2026, that I'm most uneasy about, that I'm like, I just don't like these picks. But they're on here for a reason. And part of the reason is, so not only does Patrick Cantlay have good history here, I honestly don't weigh that a ton. In this case with Patrick Cantlay, I do weigh it a little bit, of course. But if you look at the really recent form, I mean, sometimes people want to look at 50 rounds, 24 rounds, 12 rounds, 16. And I think people look at different sample sizes. But Cantlay's game is really trending in the right direction, especially on approach and especially in the proximities that we're looking at, between like 100 and 175 yards. So he just rates out so well. Also, in opportunities, birdies are better. Those types of metrics where you're going to need to score here, it'll surprise people. But if you look at the recent form, Patrick Cantlay's rating out really, really well there. So I'm just kind of taking the name away. I'm going with the stats without Scotty, 25-1. If you want to play him with Scotty, it's 30-1. Maybe you can find a 33. I'll be quick with the other three here. Ben Griffin, when he's hot, he's hot. He's got good history here from last year, 40-1 and without Scotty Market. Again, one I'm kind of uneasy about because the metrics are not matching up for Ben Griffin. He's not doing it all in one tournament, but we know he's capable of doing it. So I think this is a good pick. And then 46-1 Aaron Rye. Speaking of people that are capable of doing it, we already talked about a good course fit for Aaron Rye, but more importantly, he's shown the ability to close on Sunday. So love that at 46-1 again without Scotty. And then we've sung the praises of Ryan Girard. I won't go any deeper. 67-1 without Scotty Scheffler.
So you guys talked about JT. I think he does not have a good course history here, but I think he will play well this week. And he has a good course history. I was thinking of Colin Morikawa. JT has a great course history here. Can he finally get over the hump? No, but he'll finish second to Scottie Scheffler at best. Colin Morikawa, terrible course history here, has the right game for TPC River Highlands. Nobody's talked about Kurt Kitayama, and his odds are all over the place. 32-1 now in the without market on DK. 45-1 on Fanatics, where I saw this. His number was hammered down. And the thing that I like about Kitayama, seventh on tour in greens and regulation, sixth in approach, eighth in ball striking over the last 24 rounds. He gained three or more strokes putting at Riviera, Augusta, Aronimink, and Muirfield Village. So we know that putter can spike on difficult courses. This course is not as difficult, clearly, as those. So, but I think Kurt Kitayama can be a factor this week, and then Aaron Rye, who Sia talked about. So I will roll with those four. Let's bring in Josh. He is not afraid of Scotty Scheffler this week. Josh, Colin Morikawa starts your card. You got a couple of no bet list guys, or well, you got Hovland second, but start with Morikawa.
Life's too short to be scared of Scotty Scheffler. Colin Morikawa, 33-1. I just kind of think Colin is good enough to win every tournament when he is healthy right now. I think the swing has been in working order basically for the last 6 months, and the stat profile suggests he's getting healthier and healthier. The strokes gained off the tee suggests that the iron play has still been rock solid, and I just kind of think we should be getting back to treating Colin Morikawa like the guy he was at the beginning of the season before the injury. And 33-1 is tasty for that kind of player. Victor Hovland, 40-1, you know, maybe equal parts trying to catch a little bit of a random victory, but I do think he's playing well than maybe he's getting credit for. Top five in Canada. Don't really care about missing the cut by one at the U.S. Open. He had a bad Thursday. Actually had a pretty nice Friday. So hits the ball straight. I know Patrick's talked a bunch about the kind of weird distance thing that's going on with Victor right now, but he is hitting fairways top 20 on the PGA Tour in that category, and I'm never worried about the approach play with him. So put those things together in 40-1 for Victor. And then Brian Harman, 68-1, is about as simple as a major champion playing good golf at a place that he hasn't finished outside the top 10 since the pandemic. If I don't have any action on that kind of number for Brian Harman at this course, then that feels like a classic example of overthinking it. So 68-1 for Brian Harman.
And now, before we move on to long shots, it is time for Jason Sobel to take over hosting duties. It's time for, I don't know what you want to call this segment, Sobel, but have at it.
So I think we're calling it, is he a professional golfer or a World Cup soccer player? And we've got 10 names for you. This isn't just me, by the way. And the genesis of this was, I don't know, came up on the show somehow a few weeks ago. Yeah. And we came up with a list. I very quickly came up with a list. I've since amended it a little bit, but we have 10 names. And I will say, Patrick, Sia, Josh, you guys have the names, so it doesn't all have to be me. We can just throw out names, and EC is going to see. What's the over-under?
6.5. You were talking about that. You tried this with your girlfriend. She got 7. I at least have to match that.
Okay. What's everyone's predictions for EC?
Yeah.
Josh, let's start with you.
I'm hammering the under on 6.5.
Well, the prospect of it being a 50-50 proposition, you know, he's going to fall into 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. So I think 7 is the number. I think he's going to hit 7.
Here's the question. How many will he actually know? Like, when we say the name, will he go, oh, I know who that is?
He'll know more soccer players than golfers.
I think he'll know three.
Okay.
All right. So I will preface this by saying, EC, because I changed some of the names around. All of the golfers have won on either the DP World Tour or the Korn Ferry Tour this year.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm not just going to the depths of like there's some random dude who plays golf somewhere. Like, these guys have won. These guys have trophies on the mantle this year. Are you ready?
All right. I'm ready.
We are going to start. Is he a golfer or a soccer player? Tyler Adams.
He's on the U.S. men's national team. That's a soccer player. That's one. Boom. Thank you.
Good job.
Oh, Matt, with the drops. I love it.
You served him an easy one.
Too easy. Too easy. Yeah.
All right. Who's next?
That's big time. Right.
Somebody got him?
Sobel, I think it's you.
I got him. Sobel, it's your show. Right.
It's me. Okay. Second up.
I got you. I got the list here as well. So
Alexis McAllister.
That sounds like a Korn Ferry Tour name.
It does. But it's not. He's on Argentina.
Oh, let's go.
Oh, man.
One for two.
No.
Damn, that's
okay,
a good
one.
Okay,
one for two. That's a good painful. One. Okay.
All right, Josh? EC. Soccer player or professional golfer with a win in 2026, Jordan Gumberg.
Oh, that's got to be a – that sounds like a DP World Tour name. So I'm going with golfer.
Okay. Well done, well done.
There you go. The DP, okay, there you go. Okay, good. All right, two out of three. All right.
Really good. This is a good pace.
It's back to me. All right, I will go with Freddie Schott, golfer or soccer player?
There's no way that's a golfer. That's got to be like a German soccer player.
Great left foot on that guy.
Damn, we got the nationality.
Yeah, German. That was good.
Oh, I've bet on Freddie Schott.
Oh, all right. Oh, man. We're not at a good pace anymore, Patrick.
That counts as your half. That counts as
two out of four. All right. Who's next?
I will say, see you with the comment of I've bet on him is just the chef's
it's
kiss.
A true story. Like, as a first round leader on a DP World Tour event for sure.
Okay.
Professional golfer. Or World Cup soccer player, Declan Rice.
Yeah, he's a soccer player. I've heard of him. He's on, I think he's on England. Yeah. Okay.
Three for five.
I should have made these soccer players.
That one was easy. Come on. I got Tyler Adams and
you've
Rice.
You've given them
easy.
Two layups on the soccer
player. Yeah, that was late.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll make this a little tougher. Golfer or World Cup soccer player, Nacho Elvira.
Yeah. He's a golfer because I've seen him on the DP World Tour. So that's four out of six. Okay. Yeah, I've heard of him before.
Good
Nacho.
Too easy. Wow. Too easy.
I think there's a Nacho soccer player too. I thought you were going to go. Could be wrong there.
I spent way too much time trying to find the name of someone who plays both professional golf and is a World Cup soccer player to stump you that you would get it wrong either way. I couldn't find anybody.
Four out of six.
I'm pretty impressed. I'm not gonna lie. All right, next, Alvaro Ortiz.
Oh, that's a DP World Tour golfer. I feel like I've bet on him before, and he's lost me money. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel like you have full credit for that. He plays Corn Ferry Tour.
It's a golfer. Okay, fair. that's the half point. Okay.
He
fine.
Just won too. He won like a month ago.
Yeah.
All right, five out of seven. Okay. All right, three more to go.
Golfer or soccer player, Kai Havertz.
That's a that's for sure a soccer player because I bet on him the other day thanks to Buckets. I think he's on – is he – yeah, he's German. So that's – yeah, there you go. Yep.
Do we get credit for watching the early edge? Does that count?
No, I'll tell you. Let me just give a shout out to Buckets here. He has been so money, not only in the early edge with UCIA, but on Twitter, like his picks, I'm really proud of him. Not only, you know, has he been great as far as a personality, but his picks have been incredible. So if you're not following Buckets, you're making a huge mistake. He's made a lot of money, made me money even last night in that Algeria Jordan game. So thank you, Buckets. I know you're probably not watching, but thank you. All right, go ahead, Josh or Sobel. Got six out of eight. Let's go. Two more.
Just for the record, the under could still hit. Just for
yep,
okay. They can.
Let's go with Michael Olise.
Oh, that's a soccer player. I heard of him. He's
great
another guy.
Play, actually, he's actually got great wedge play.
He just scored, right? Okay.
Yeah, he just scored the other day. Yeah,
so yeah, that's not fair.
Okay, all right.
Too timely. That's too timely.
Last night, he's gonna win the. I've got him for golden ball, but I don't think it's going to happen now.
Too timely.
All the good players are playing too.
All right, so I've already hit the over. So let's see if I can 8 out of 10 crush this segment. Let's see what we got.
Seven right now.
Yeah, 7 out of 9. Yep.
7 out of 9. All right, we've got to stump him here. All right, last one: golfer, soccer player, Mikael Lindberg.
Oh, now, guys, I got this. This is like the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Remember that guy, the first one, the guy that got the millionaire, like to phone a friend here. I don't need to call Sia. I already know. He is a DP World Tour golfer. 8 out of 10. Let's go.
Not bad.
Thank you all. Well done. Thank you all for playing. Yep, there
we
you
have
go.
Made this entirely too easy.
It's the upset of the century. 8 out of 10 for me. That's the equivalent of like a 105-1 hit on the PGA Tour. I'm impressed.
With the World Cup happening, it ended up being kind of a layup for him. That's the issue.
Yep. I feel like if we had done this 2 weeks ago, it's 6, not 8.
Yeah, I would say probably 5 or 6. But I mean, Olise was one that, you know, but I've heard of a few of those guys because, you know, you guys talk about them on the show, including in the long shot segment. So let's get right to it. Thank you, Sobel, for coming up with those names. Thank you.
How about you in the chat? Way to go, EC. The entire chat room just lost money fading you.
Guys should learn. Only fade me during finishing position. No, seriously. Let's see what we have long shots. Thank you, Sobel, for that. All right, let's start off. Patrick, what do you got for us?
Whoa. I got nothing.
You got nothing. Okay.
I bet on Tommy at 18-1.
Rewind. Rewind.
Josh, what do you got for us?
I got nothing for you. No,
you got something. You got something there.
I got a top 10 parlay. Brant Snedeker, Eric Cole. 6,800-yard golf course. Two guys not exactly known for their distance, but what they are making a name for themselves in is playing good golf in 2026. Eric Cole should probably have a victory. Brant Snedeker does have a victory. Unlikely that they both finish in the top 10, but I feel like 120-1 is both fun and also maybe a little too long for two guys that are playing some good golf and I fancy decent course fits.
Hef in the chat, by the way, I was not on Google. These guys saw I was not looking at the chat. I gave some thoughts behind it. So there you go. See ya. Speaking of Eric Cole, 90-1 in the without Scheffler market. You think he can contend again in a signature event?
Yeah. Listen, this is a really good course for him. I understand you have to be accurate off the tee, but it's also not a long course. Like if Cole is just, you know, I don't know about clubbing down necessarily with Eric Cole, but if he can keep it on the fairway off the tee, he's got all the other tools to succeed on a course that just doesn't require length. So I think 90-1 for a guy that's clearly playing different golf than Eric Cole has ever played in his life, again, in the without market, is very reasonable. And also, Alex Smalley. We're only a few tournaments removed from Alex Smalley being excellent, really across the board. So I think, again, we haven't seen him a lot, and maybe we just saw a four-tournament stretch, and he's just going to decline. But 80-1 without Scotty on a guy that was, for about a month, just absolutely crushing it. He has the pedigree. This number is too long.
I'm going to get out of the way before Sobel does his thing, but this is the EC date night parlay. If this hits, I will give back to one of you in the chat and pay for one of your dates with either your wife or husband or significant other. So Scotty Scheffler to win and JT or Brian Harman to finish in the top 10 is 90-1. If that hits, I will pay for a date. I will Venmo one of you to pay for one of your dates. That's the EC date night parlay. And a top 10 parlay, I'm trying to go around the world here. I don't know how well I did here, but we'll see if Sobel approves. Shoffley and Burns here at TPC River Highlands, Joaquin Neiman on the DP World Tour, and Nelly Korda and my friend Ronin Yin on the LPGA Tour, all top 10. So Shoffley, Burns, Neiman, Nelly, and Ronin, whatever it is. Running, okay, fair enough. 43-1, top 10 parlay. Sobel, you have the floor here. This is beautiful to my eyes.
So the first one, which actually has a decent chance of potentially hitting, Justin Thomas to win. Nelly Korda, she's 3-1. So if you're playing Nelly Korda, you probably want to parlay it with something. And so I like her this week. Obviously, it's a long golf course. So she won the first two majors. And in my mind, it doesn't mean they're going to win, but France is so much better than every other team I've watched. And I've watched every team so far, trust me. I think Argentina, Crispin said he's going to play this one with Argentina. They've got all the flash with Messi right now. I still think France is as good as I've seen in a World Cup in a very long time. But, again, doesn't mean they're going to win. So, the other one, let's go with some long shots. Sahith this week, talked about him earlier. Jennifer Kupcho starting to play some really good golf. I basically looked at the top 30 or so, top 35, on the driving distance list for the LPGA this year and didn't go beyond that. So, I've got an article up, if you go to my Twitter, on my favorite LPGA plays of the week for their major championship, the KPMG. And then I'll take Patrick Reed on the DP World Tour. Hasn't played over there in about 3 months, but going over to Italy this week. And that one will get you a cool 55,000 to one this week.
Love seeing that. Boy, that's what this is, where we get rich. If you're not betting double goal scorers at the World Cup, and you could have made a lot of money on those, then you could just play Sobel's Parlay and you got it. All right, before we move on to OAD, I always ask you for random predictions. Patrick, as we do this show, the NBA draft is about to start. Give us something that's going to happen tonight in the NBA draft.
Was that to me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No. It's not that I'm not paying attention. I was frozen. It was a lot going on. What's going on tonight? I don't think the Wizards pick AJ. Why not?
Whoa. Whoa.
They're going to go Peterson. Don't call me Carl Pedersen.
Sobel, I need another team who's going to play France in the World Cup final. Who is it?
I don't know the exact brackets and everything, so right. I'm kind of picking out of thin air here.
Not going to be England after what we saw today. We all lost money on that.
It honestly might be England.
They stink.
God, you know what? I thought Portugal was going to lay another egg today, and they looked really good. I could see them very much like Argentina 4 years ago. Argentina lost to Saudi Arabia and then ran the table the rest of the way. I could see Portugal doing something sort of similar.
See, you're now a golf a soccer connoisseur, because Buckets is just instilling that in all of us. Give me something World Cup related as far as a pick.
Oh, I'm not going to do that. You don't want that from me. But I'll say this. The Wizards draft AJ DeBonsa. Mm-hmm. Scottie Scheffler wins the Travelers Championship. And Patrick's Pittsburgh Steelers draft Brandon Sorsby in the 2027 NFL draft. You're welcome. Like that.
Wow. Josh, what do you got? How do you top that, by the way?
I don't think you do. I think I'll give my time back to the court.
Let's go on to OAD. And I want to give a shout out to Todd here, who was the first one in our chat today saying, you know, he wanted to make sure that I gave him a shout out. He is in second place in our OAD, our early wedge OAD challenge behind Kristen. He's gaining. I mean, he's not out of this thing. Kristen is dominant this year. Hef is in fifth, I believe. And Sia, you are in 16th. So you're doing great. And Matt kind of broke it down. Like he shows all of your picks here. Let's put that up on screen. Do you have any rationale as to what you're thinking going forward with who you have left?
Well, as you can see on this screen, I don't have a lot of great players left. You see, I used Fleetwood and Fitzpatrick recently. Kind of wish I could take particularly the Fitzpatrick one back. Matt Fitzpatrick, that is. I've used Ludwig, Cam, Scotty. You name the great player, and I've probably used him. And that's part of the reason I am where I am. Obviously, hitting signature events really, really helped me, particularly with Cam Young and Scotty Scheffler coming in second there, and Rory McIlroy, T2 as well. But I don't have a lot left, but that's okay. And I think that's the strategy, because a lot of guys emerge late in the season. So I think when you're saving a guy, you're probably playing it wrong. And that's because I can use Wyndham Clark later. Maybe he stays hot. I can use Sam Burns later. Maybe he stays hot. I still have a few guys. This week, however, I'm actually going to go with a guy that, again, I'm very reluctant to take as an outright. I'm very reluctant to take in general, but I've set myself up in a position where I don't have the luxury of taking Scottie Scheffler this week or somebody like, if you like Xander or Ludwig. And again, that's okay, because not a lot of people will be taking Patrick Cantlay in one and done. Some people will because of his history, but that's where I'm headed. And so I've got to hit one of these signature events or the Open Championship if I really want a realistic chance to top two or top three, but at least I've put myself in that position. Patrick Cantlay is a guy, listen, you're never going to be comfortable throughout your one and done. You never should be. This is a very uncomfortable pick. I've made them before and they've bombed. Hopefully this one doesn't.
See, speaking of uncomfortable picks, Patrick is taking Jordan Spieth, who did win here, I believe, winning that. It was a hole out from the bunker. But Patrick, you're in the top 100. Are you going to stay there with Jordan Spieth?
I honestly, I was going to pick JT. I saw you had him and I'm like, I'm not going to play defense on you. If you're the better man this week, you get to pass me. But I saw that someone tweeted that he might be testing a lab putter this week, which pains me to see. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not. That's the word on the street. But I kind of just went with him for fun, just to like, let's pick him. Why not?
JT, three straight top tens here. I just trying to get in the top 100 so you guys don't rewrite my whole dating profile, though probably could use it at this point. Josh, we need you to gain a little bit here. Got some room to grow, but I'm not sure Victor Hovland's going to do it.
Well, if he does it, there won't be very many people with me. And I've gotten a little unlucky with some WDs this year. I had Colin at the Players, and there have been some ineffective picks, don't get me wrong. But I am getting to that point where if I want to have guys I'm actually excited about when we get to playoffs, when we get to the Open, then I've got to take a risk and need to do it at one of the last big pot events of the season. So Victor, he is the upside to win the golf tournament. I don't have any doubt in that. And if he does it, then maybe I'll shoot up this board alongside not very many other people.
Sobel, great news for you. You're only $11 million behind Sia. So mathematically in play.
Press. Go with a leverage play. We're going to press this. Yeah. Look, this is going to be so embarrassing for you guys when I keep going leverage plays and I get these 0.6% owned and they just keep winning every week and I wind up taking this whole thing down.
Brian Harman has a great course history. 7 of his last 8 in the top 10 here. Let's see it. All right.
Thrilled that you can't pass me, even if he wins the golf tournament. I'm thrilled by that. That's really all I'm looking for.
If Sobel passes any of us, I mean, there's got to be some kind of a bet that we... All right. It's time for best bets for the Travelers Championship. And Sia, I'm actually going to start with you with a round one play.
Yeah, let's get some money in our pockets early. Of course, we're all going to hit our first round leaders. Maybe Ryan Gerard, but I'm going to go in the first round with Keith Mitchell -128 over Ryu Hasatsune. Maybe Keith Mitchell has found something with the putter, but honestly, even if he hasn't, even if he regresses versus last week, which he certainly will, the ball striking is too good. Ryu Hasatsune also has been good this year, and lately the ball striking is okay. It's just not the ball striking that Keith Mitchell has. And frankly, the short game for Ryu Hasatsune has been close to a disaster. So I think Keith Mitchell has Ryu in the ball striking department. I think he probably has him in the short game in round one. There's going to be probably softer conditions with rain over the week and potentially on Thursday. And I think that just sets up really well for Keith Mitchell. Give me round one -128 over Ryu Hasatsune.
Patrick, I love this number on Aaron Rye, who's one of my outrights this week. Tell us what you got.
Yeah, my guy Charlie Holm gave me this. Holm, if you can't see, it's two gloves praying because the Rye guys are out in full force this week. Smiley Kaufman's co-host, great guy. Follow him anywhere you can. But Aaron Rye, top 20 in 4 out of his last 5 events, top 25 in this tournament, his last 2 trips, including a top 20 last time. Just playing great right now. And in this field, he probably is a top 20 player, and we're getting at +166. So bet on it.
Absolutely love that pick. Absolutely love that hat. And by the way, just to point out, Patrick, I used to play golf with double gloves, and then I grew out of it. Sobel, what do you got?
So I'd like to think that all of our bets throughout the entire show are best bets. That said, we get to this segment, best bets, and I always envision like someone coming up to you, one of your buddies going, look, dude, I seriously, like, I need to make some money. Like, I'm hard up right now. Like, I need something. And so you give them a play that's okay. You're not going to, like, make a ton on it, but I'm going Justin Thomas for a top 20. I've talked about JT throughout the entire show. I like him to win this week. So if you win, you should be in the top 20. So that's my logic there. But 3 straight top 10s at this tournament. He likes it here. The ball striking has been very good lately.
You cannot get analysis like that anywhere. Josh, what do you got?
Brian Harman, top 20 +162. I feel like it would be irresponsible if we got through a best bet segment at TPC River Highlands and didn't have a Brian Harman finishing position bet. Brian Harman is hitting .533, finishing top 10 at this event in his career. 8 top 10s and 15 starts. I'm getting him at plus money to be half as good at that as that, and I'm pretty confident in it. Side note, +410 to finish top 10 and 9-1 to finish inside the top 5, but we'll go top 20 at +162.
Love that pick. Gave it out earlier in the show. Great pick from Josh. And finally, I can't believe I'm doing this. One of my least favorite golfers to bet on, but I love this pick. Patrick Cantlay, top 20 at minus 110. Listen, he's been in the top 15 here in 8 straight appearances, yet never better than 4th. He does have an eye for this place. He's gained multiple shots tee to green in each of those 8 events. And he's has top 20s in 7 of 13 events this season, including in the last 3 signature events. We say adios to the signature events in 2026 with a Patrick Cantlay top 20 finish. In fact, I think we go 5 for 5 in this segment this week. So I feel good about our best bets here on the Early Wedge. All right. Now that we got through that, guys, any final thoughts? See ya as we head into the golf tournament here. We're back half of the season. What do you got?
I've got that AJ DeBonce is a Washington Wizard officially. So we can put that one to bed. And I want to give the chat a shout out as well. Mike Miller earlier gave out a parlay. I think it was Ryan Gerard, first round leader with one of the Orioles to hit a home run. I can't remember which one.
Taylor Ward, I'm going with tonight.
Oh, that's good. The model likes that. It was 22,001. The point is, on the early edge, I actually have the Orioles first 5 minus a half. We already hit an early edge bet from AMAGS, which Rick Funcannon mentioned in the chat. Anyway, that's all I've got. Thank you.
See ya. Before we get going here, unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to make it next week at my favorite team's ballpark, but the early edge is having a get-together at Wrigley Field. Tell us about it.
July 1st. Yeah, it's Pete Alonso. Thank you, Mike Miller. Yeah, July 1st, we're meeting at Wrigley Field. If you're going to be anywhere near Chicago, come check us out. We're doing stuff beforehand at a place called Sluggers, which is right next to Wrigley Field at 11 o'clock, and then we're going to the game. If you don't get our section of tickets and you're in the area, just go to the game anyway or meet us up after the game or before the game. I'll be there the night of June 30th. I leave the afternoon of July 2nd, so I'm up to hang out wherever people are. So hopefully people can make it. It's the Early Edge crew. It's the second time we've done this.
It will be epic. Hope you guys can be out there. I'm hoping I get to make a last minute trip out of it. I haven't been to Wrigley Field in a while to watch my Cubbies, though they are painful some days to watch. Guys, great show. Thanks to all of you in the chat. Please make sure before you close out of this window, if you're watching on YouTube, to like us, to like this video. It certainly helps us out at Sportsline. Sobel, thank you for that, our little soccer or DP World Tour Corn Ferry winner. 8 out of 10. I'm very proud of myself.
It'll be tougher next time.
We'll do one later in the season. We still have, what, 9 shows after this? 9, 10 shows, something like that. Guys, great show. Matt behind the scenes, killing it as always. For Sobel, Patrick, Josh, and Sia, I'm EC. As I always like to say, let's hit it big. Good luck.
Paramount Podcasts.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number 1 and number 2 in resale value over all vehicles, according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.